You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Amen. Now, those of you who are born again, my task, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip you to do the work, but it's not doctrinal. Doctrinal knowledge will not help you do the work. It will help you to understand the parameters of the work, but it won't help you do the work. Just because you know Bible doctrine, that will not make you a faithful worker. In fact, if it's applied inappropriately, it'll turn you into a Pharisee. So when Paul tells the leaders in Ephesians 4 that he gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastor, teacher, depending upon your theology, you can make it 5 or 4. Some make the teacher a separate office. Others put pastor, teacher together. I'm of the frame of mind that I put pastor and teacher together. So in my world, it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. However you slice it, it's not important. But then he goes on to say the purpose of those ministerial gifts is to equip you to do the work of ministry. And unfortunately, that particular passage was taken to mean that we are supposed to give you such deep doctrine, give you all these revelatory abilities so that you are able to do the work of God, and that's just not so. If you continue in the text, you will find that the Apostle Paul challenges us with something that I find extremely important for your Christian evolution. Now, this series is titled The Lifestyle of the New Creature. And why is this important to God? Can I have my bucket, Cliff? This is you when you come to Christ. You see it? This is you when you come to Christ. It's full. You are full of ungodliness. You are full of things that God did not want you to be. Because of your genetic connection to Adam, this cup is full of lies, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, thievery, laziness, gluttony. A myriad of things came from your Adamic connection. You had nothing to do with it. The Bible says we are born into sin and shaped in iniquity. So you come to Christ like this, full of sin. Now, you become a Christian. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The word new there is the Greek word kainos, and it means a species that has never existed before. So God takes you when you come to Christ, full of Adam, and empties you out. Now listen, you walk away from the altar like this. Listen carefully. When you walk away from the altar, you are not a Christian. You are saved. That's all you are. I'm not trying to weaken it. I'm trying to get you to understand. When you walk away from the altar, all you are is saved. You are not a Christian. Now, I know this is struggling for some people, so I'll give you a moment to, you know, kind of digest this because you're frightened because of what you've heard. Let me give it to you this way. When I was born, 32 years ago, when I was born, listen carefully, when I was born, I was born a man. Even in scripture, there are times when the mother would say, the Lord has given me a man child. I was born a man. But I was given to my parents and my family as a baby. Why? So that they may train the man. He could not have given them me as a man because I would not be trainable. I would already be settled. So giving them me as a baby meant that they could train me with the support of the scripture. If you train them up in the way they should go, they would not depart. That's another instruction that we'll have to cover at a later date. But I was given to them as a baby. So the man that you see before you now was entirely connected to what they did to me. Listen, all God did was work with what I had. 90% of what you bring to God, he didn't change. He polished it. The only thing he took away was sin. I was an introvert. He kept the introvert. He didn't change it. He anointed the introvert. He blessed the introvert. He filled it with the Holy Ghost and sent it out to do the work, knowing that his knees knock every time he has to stand before people. That's who he is. So we spend an enormous amount of time trying to get God to change our base nature. That's not what he changes. You are what you are. Some of you have anger issues. You become extremely angry about issues that you cannot control. You're born again. It's still there. You're just an angry Christian. You see, we've been made to believe that Christians are perfect. Understand this. If I go outside and take this glass that is now, you know, has some water stains in it, that makes it susceptible to pick up dirt. I take this glass and I go outside in the grass and I run it through the dirt. So much so that the dirt now comes into the glass. This glass is now what? Dirty. Dirty. Now, God can't use a dirty glass. I don't want to drink out of a dirty glass. If I give that glass to the usher and say, I want some water and the glass is dirty, what's the first thing they're going to do? Wash it. So when you came to God, you were dirty. So he washed you. So he can't use a dirty vessel. Now I'm going to speak to my people, not the bougie ones, my people. Every one of my people had a cup in the house that didn't have a handle. Right? Okay. That wasn't necessarily a dirty cup. That was an imperfect cup. It lacked the handle. But it was still a cup. You didn't say, get me that dirty cup. You just said, get me that cup. And everybody knew what the cup was because the handle doesn't make a cup. A chair is still a chair, even if nobody is sitting there. And a room is still, I'm sorry. We got first-time visitors. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me get holy again. But God can use you if you're a cup without a handle. You're just imperfect. You're not dirty, you're imperfect. And every one of us that house the Holy Spirit is imperfect. But we dare not be dirty. The Word of God can cleanse the dirt, but the Word of God doesn't do anything with the imperfections. Because the imperfections are permanent. If God were to perfect us, we would become arrogant, self-righteous, pharisaical. So as we are used of God with the imperfections, it keeps us humble. And it also causes us to realize that if God can use me, he can use anybody. So I become teachable. I become a person who yields to authority because there are no perfect people other than Jesus. You have the distinction. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 said, if any is in Christ, he's a new creature. So here you are, an emptied out cup. Clean. Let me get another one. This one has water stains on it because it was in church. You go to church, you get stains. Why? Because you want to be like everybody you see. Somebody comes down to the front and dance, you come down to the front and dance. You don't know why you're dancing, you're just dancing. If you feel like you want to scream, sorry, God help me. I'm imperfect. Now, here, this cup is clean and it's dry. What is it ready for? Anything. See, now some said water because that's what you saw before. But what determines what goes in this glass? The person holding it. So the glass can hold water, juice. The glass can hold a wide range of beverages. But the choice is up to the person who holds the glass. You determine what fills you. God does not determine what fills you. You determine what will fill you. Now watch this. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, as we discuss the lifestyle of the new creature. You are a new creature. All right, I'm going to give you something because I love you and I know you're struggling with this. You are a Christian in theory. Because I know some of you are really struggling with it, and you want to get up and walk out because you think I lost my mind, and I ain't settling for that. I am a Christian. Listen to what I'm saying. A young man or a young woman goes through 8 years of college. Successfully completing 8 years of college causes them to get a doctorate-level degree. We are going to say MD. They are a doctor of medicine after 8 years. Listen carefully. They are, when they graduate and flip that tassel, they are doctors. But now, after they've completed that part of the job, they must now choose a specialty. General practitioner, pediatrics, gerontology, orthopedics, whatever. And then there is more training until they can practice. The MD just says, you're ready for the training. You've taken the basics. Now you're ready for the training. So they pick a specialty and they go through internship and residency, which can be 6 years depending upon the specialty. Successfully completing their last years of residency, they are now able to hang out their shingle and have you come visit them with ailments. But not when they graduate college. When you leave that altar, you are a basic Christian. You're not ready to go out and prophesy and do all that other stuff, but you have to now discover what you're filling yourself with. Now, the Apostle Paul is the only apostle who tries to walk us through situational development. He uses Hebrew idioms based on his upbringing in religious things. He says he's the only one who uses the term put off and put on. It's a Hebrew idiom which means that you take on a different characteristic. How is this possible? Many of us say, I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus. How? You're a basic Christian. You watch everybody else and their deportment, and you try to mimic what you see. You speak in tongues, maybe not generated by the Holy Spirit. Hear me. Tongue speaking isn't necessarily generated by the Holy Spirit, because we are chameleon-like. We can imitate. And how many times have you heard a Christian, oh, shata. That's not even a language. They quicken, ah, yabobo. That's some cheap Swahili. And we when we hear it, we go, praise the Lord. Because we thrive on the supernatural. We love the person who comes in walking all spacey and, you know, everything is so deep for them. I said this to a minister. I said, why do you spend so much time? You know, it's like, wow, I got to preach Sunday. I spend all week. All week. To get a message for the people. Why? Because I want to give them what God is saying. Well, if you're spending time with God, why do you need an extra week? Just yield, stand, and he'll put in your mouth what you should say. We struggle with things that are not necessary. Everything in our life, we make it too difficult. It's simple. It really is. It's not that difficult. And so here you are, a Christian, clean, but not knowing what to put in. So you just default to whatever everybody else is doing. So you become a clone. And in the age of pseudo false mentoring and false connections where someone says, I want you to be over me. I reject that hypothesis. I'm not over anybody. Only God is over people. Oh, I need to have somebody that I'm under. You're under the Holy Spirit. You work with me. Listen to Paul. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul says this is what you are to be. When he gets to 4, 5, and 6, he says this is what you are supposed to do. It is the greatest letter written to the church that will help you in your Christian development. If you take the time to master just 6 simple chapters, it will revolutionize your life when you digest what Paul is suggesting. I love the fact that Paul spends 3 chapters telling us what we are to be. Why? Because the being is more important than the doing. The doing can become repetitious behavior that I observe from others. But the being is unique because none of us can get being from anybody else. Being is the result of your connection with your Father. In the being, Paul says, you need to recognize that God saved you for his pleasure. Lord, Lord. In other words, it made God happy to save you. It doesn't make him happy to use you in ministry. That's for people. But yet, folks want to be used of God, but don't walk with God. Are you with me? All right, so when we get to chapter 4, he says in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that from this moment forward, henceforth, you walk not as other Gentiles or unbelievers walk in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean? It means that they are just doing what seems right to them. And where do we draw that conclusion? Based upon the preponderance of evidence that comes from our social interactions. We determine what's right and wrong by the person around us. This is the reason why the church is slipping into obscurity, because things that we once said were sinful are now being allowed. There was a time when the homosexual agenda was done in the closet, in secret. But they became bold, and so the church has now begun to accept that behavior and asks the philosophical question that maybe that person does have a separate nature intertwined with what God made them. We are now justifying immoral behavior through a series of psychological adjustments. What has happened? We find ourselves legitimizing the breakdown of the home, the destruction of the nuclear family. We find ourselves employing concepts that destroy or hinder at best the move of God, and we are content with our destination of heaven. But yet, we do not want to be lights and salt. We have become seductively pulled into lifestyles that weaken our testimony and cause us to become the laughingstock of the secular world because we've lost our dignity as we've become what we beheld. Things that are seemingly not sinful. Facebook has become the antithesis of the light of the world. We put things on there that are horrific. And listen, worst case scenario is that Facebook promotes narcissism because it's all about you. Where you go, what you do, what you eat. Now, who in their right mind takes pictures of food and sends it around for everybody to know what you ate? Christianity and the message of the cross has been removed from schools. It has been removed from the government. There are judicial individuals who are trying to pull the Ten Commandments off of courtrooms. We have been barred from telling people that Jesus Christ is Lord. God in his wisdom gave us access to a medium called Facebook, and we ought to blow it up with Jesus. Everything ought to be Jesus. They ought to, listen, you got to start asking yourself, why are they allowing us on there when the Bible says we're not supposed to be friends to the world? We should be blowing that thing up with the cross, with holiness, with godliness. Not look at my new shoes, look at my new car, look at my... No, not things that lift us, but things that lift Jesus. Some of you looking at me now, it ain't sin. All things are lawful, but everything's not expedient. Paul writes that whatever we do, it should be done to the glory of God. You say, oh, Pastor, come on now, you're being a legalist. Am I really? How can you give the message of the cross after you've given pictures of your body shape dressed in a seductive clothes, man and or woman? When everybody and his cousin looks at Facebook, and then they go to church and you stand up preaching and they say, oh, that person's a preacher? I remember what they posted last week.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Lifestyle of the New Creature, or the program number 04119A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.